Almighty God, we thank you and praise you for this day and ask in Jesus' name that you would draw us closer to yourself, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. And Lord, that as we worship you, as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would speak to us, that you would help us to know your love and grace in our lives. And God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. I did something bad today. I did something bad. Sue works so hard on these pictures, and I forgot to show the kids. So we're entering into Holy Week. It says, if you can't read it, tell Jerusalem, her king is coming to her riding humbly on a colt. And you can see here is the colt that the disciples got that fulfill an Old Testament prophecy that Jesus would ride into a colt into Bethlehem, and people would lay down palms and their coats on the ground as a sign of honor as Jesus rides in. During that time in Jerusalem, Jesus would have the Last Supper with the disciples, and then at that point Judas would go to the chief priests and would betray or would receive money to betray Jesus, to tell them where Jesus is at. And then in the garden while Jesus was praying, he was arrested. Judas gives him a kiss on the cheek. The soldiers arrest him. They take him for trial against the priests. And this is Pilate, all in one picture. And then Jesus is tortured, is flogged because of who he is, who he claims to be. Heavy week, isn't it? You know, you've seen them. Everybody knows one. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's not. Often associated with sports, but applies to all. You see, we're fans, we're all fans of different things, teams, activities, movies, shows, people. And as fans, there are times when we cheer. We cheer, yeah! And there are times that we're brought to tears. I saw that last night as the one team lost, Arizona lost to Wisconsin. And one of the players was just sobbing because he felt he let his coach down. Now, in one of our favorite family movies, Remember the Titans, the movie depicts the high school team, T.C. Williams, in West Virginia, going through a transition where schools of different races are brought together to form one school. And the team's coach is an African-American who works hard to integrate the players into a cohesive team, despite the opposition he is receiving from some of the players' parents and town folks. It's a difficult situation in trying to establish, it's a difficult situation where the establishment is making it difficult on the new coach to do his job of winning games. And despite the resistance from the outside, and even from some of the players on the inside of the team, the coach is able to lead the team through some really rough waters to eventually win the state championship. There are places in this movie where you're cheering for the team or success of the players, the coaches. And there are also parts where a tear might sneak out of the corner of your eye, either at a moment of sadness or joy. Over the last few weeks, we have been quickly going through the life of Jesus as he seeks to bring people back to God, really helping people to enter into a relationship with God as opposed to following a set of laws or rules or just saying you believe in God. And as Jesus comes to Jerusalem, he has just brought a man back to life, back from the dead, and the crowd is buzzing with the question, is this the Messiah? Is this the one? And despite the growing opposition of the religious leaders, of his day, Jesus enters into Jerusalem with the crowds crying, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna to the King of Kings. Hosanna in the highest." We read this and our hearts soar with joy. We see the broad acceptance of Jesus for who he is, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Savior of the world. You go, God! Yeah! Now, as you know, of the 5 or 6 years, for 5 or 6 years, my boys both played hockey. And only in 1 year did they play on the same team. It certainly was a blessing to not have to go to so many practices. And it was a great year in that we didn't have two teams throughout the season. And one son played defense and one son played forward. And at times they were on the ice together. And especially when you see that kind of, that pass to my brother. Man, that was a heavenly time. And in any season, there were some high points and there were some low points. There were times where we're cheering like crazy and some low points that could bring you to tears. The anticipation going into each game grew as the team became more of a cohesive unit and were playing well together, winning tournaments. They did great things. The anticipation for the Messiah had reached a fever pitch on Sunday. The religious leaders are ready to rally the troops behind Jesus, and they would overthrow the Roman government and once again be free people. Yeah! The expectation was that God was doing great things in the life of his people, and Jesus would lead them to victory. Yet, this wasn't really the case. This wasn't going to be one big joyful celebration in Jerusalem for the annual feasts of unleavened bread and Passover. You see, the religious leaders were not happy with Jesus because he was not the Messiah that they wanted him to be. What began as a celebration on Sunday would begin to sour on Monday. What Jesus had faced in the past would seem easy compared to what he was about to face in the coming week for those who didn't like him or didn't care for him. Well, even more than not caring for Jesus, the religious leaders in Jerusalem were afraid of him, for he was leading people to a new understanding about who God was. And they were jealous of him for the attention he was getting. And they were angry with him about how he seemed to disregard the religious norms of the day and sought to bring hope to a disenfranchised people and a world. And because of how they felt, there would be moments where my heart would become sad at the turn of events in Jesus' life. This fear, this jealousy and anger would create for Jesus a time of darkness that we don't read about anywhere else in the scriptures. Our hero was headed toward a very dark place. And so where is God the Father in all of this? After all, Jesus, your Son, is the Savior of the world. Couldn't the cheering of the people lasted longer for Jesus from the beginning of the festival to the end? Couldn't Jesus have negotiated with the Romans to give the Israelites their complete freedom? Couldn't Jesus have won over the religious leaders of the day like he did the masses, convincing them that he was who he claimed to be? And the answer is absolutely yes. He could have. But the reality is it didn't happen that way. No, Jesus had already told his disciples prior to this moment of complete adoration, what must happen. Read it with me. "We are going up to Jerusalem," he said, "and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and teachers of the law." Next screen. "They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. On one hand, the disciples have been told what's going to go down that week. And on the other hand, it starts out so completely different. Well, maybe he was wrong. No, Jesus is going to rule. He's going to rock the house down in Jerusalem. As they walked into Jerusalem with branches and shouting and joy. Yes, Jesus would rock the world, but only after condemnation, mocking, flogging, and death by crucifixion. You know, it seems this last sentence up there, 3 days later he will rise, somehow got lost in all the events of the week. Like the movie The Titans, Jesus and the disciples would have to endure many trials before the final triumph in the end. And during this week, Jesus would continue to school the disciples to better understand what God was really trying to do. Now, the Passover was a celebration of God freeing the Israelites from the Egyptian slavery more than 1,500 years prior. And it required a sacrifice. And many who came to the temple from out of town would need to purchase animals. The court of the Gentiles, an outer court where God's temple resided, was set up as a marketplace where vendors would bring their animals and people would, coming to the temple, could make their purchases. And when Jesus saw them on the following day, Monday, he began to turn over the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves. And Jesus said this, "It is not written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of robbers." The court wasn't designed to be a marketplace and a money exchange. Jesus was reminding the people that the court of the Gentiles was a place for the people of all nations to come and to worship the God of Israel. You see, if you remember, God's upper story purpose was to raise up a nation, the Israelites, from the time of Abraham, to be a beacon of sorts, to be a conduit for other nations to come into relationship with God. And instead of a place of prayer, it was a place of price gouging. It was a place where money was exchanging hands instead of prayer being lifted up to God. God desires that we too today have a place where we can go to be with him on a regular basis. A place and time of quietness, of reading and reflection. A time to seek higher spiritual needs in our lives that only God can fill. And yet that place becomes a place of business. And it's exchanged instead of prayer. It's exchanged for money. Of course, Jesus' actions in the temple was the final straw, crack, and fueled the desire of the priests and religious leaders, the opposition from the outside, to now move in finding a way to rid themselves of this holy man. And in a turn of events, in a twist in the movie, it was not an outside influence that dramatically sped up Jesus' journey towards the cross. The religious leaders were not the only ones disappointed with Jesus. One of the 12 disciples, Judas Iscariot, also comes to a point where he no longer believes that Jesus is truly the Messiah. Why? Because Judas did not truly understand what Jesus was doing to usher in the kingdom of God, to pay the penalty for all of people's sins. So he went to the religious leaders and for 30 pieces of silver, sold Jesus out, telling the religious leaders where they could find him, where the crowds wouldn't be around to see what was happening. It seems we all reach points like this, like Judas, where we don't understand what God is doing in our lives. Because we don't understand, we give up on God. We stop worshiping God in community and in our own devotional lives. We replace God for what the world can give to us or give us instead of what God wants to do for us and in and through us. If Judas would have only waited, if we would only wait on God's timing instead of moving ahead on our own. You see, Jesus was moving to God's drumbeat. And over the next several days, Jesus would take the annual Passover meal that celebrated the Hebrew people's release from slavery and give new meaning to it to help all believers remember and celebrate their release from sin and death. And we'll talk more about that on Monday, Thursday. Jesus would also demonstrate what it meant to be truly a servant. Remember, Jesus told the disciples, "I have come not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many." So Jesus showed them how to serve by taking the lowest servant's job and washing the feet of his disciples to drive home the point of what it was that they were expected to do. Then Jesus would go to the Garden of Gethsemane and pray this prayer as he faced the suffering, torture, humiliation of death. "Not my will, but your will be done, Lord." You see, at any moment, Jesus could have said to the director, "Hey, I'm out of here. The script isn't working for me anymore." Remember the question I asked you earlier, what is something that you would die for? For God, the answer is you and you and you and you. God would die for you and you and you and you and you. You see, God says you're willing. He is willing to die for you. And I wonder if Jesus, as he struggled in the garden, didn't look down through time and see each of us here this morning worshiping God because he was willing to be servant to all. He was willing to give up his life for ours that we might live so that we might be freed from sin and death. You see, I know Jesus was willing to endure this week so that we could be saved. Saved from living lives with no purpose or meaning. Saved from living lives of selfishness and self-loathing. Saved from living lives of hatred and self-destruction. Saved to live lives filled with love and laughter. Saved to live lives with freedom from sin and death. Saved to have purpose and a meaning for life. Yes, Jesus endured this week and in the end gave up his life for yours and mine, that we might be saved. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Think about that. God did not send Jesus to condemn you, but to die for you so that you could be saved. This week started out with cheers, and yet for the rest of the week it would be tears. But don't forget that last line. 3 days later, he will rise. Let us pray. Almighty God, we acknowledge our need for a Savior who sets us free from sin and death so that we might worship you without worry, without fear. Set us free, God, to give us great lives of love after the example of Jesus, to be gracious to those who have yet to know you, and to help all that we run across in our lives to know your love and grace through us. Help us, Lord, help our thoughts, our actions, and our plans in this life to be an act of worship to you now and forevermore. And all of God's people said, Amen. Amen.